So Palm Sunday, filled with excitement, filled with joy and singing, filled with hope. Today, as we remember this first Palm Sunday, I'd like for us to focus not on the festive parade, although that's a great thing to continue to keep in your mind. But I believe that where the Lord wants us to look today is into an event that happened just before Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem. That simple event is the untying of the colt. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning verse 29. As Jesus approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there with no one who has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" So they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Now, we are firmly convinced and we totally understand that Jesus is the focus of Palm Sunday. He is the focus of every Sunday. He hopefully is the focus of every moment of every day, of every breath that we take. Jesus is the focus of Palm Sunday. He is the story. But I believe that Jesus really does have an important message for us in the image of this little donkey that carried him into the city. Now, we understand that there were other donkeys in the Bible. You have Balaam's donkey that talked, he spoke, and he warned Balaam of danger. And every time now after the movie Shrek, when I think of Balaam's donkey, I think of his voice sounding like Eddie Murphy. And I can't do an Eddie Murphy impersonation, so I'm not even going to try. But you have seen the movie. You know, right? Could you imagine Eddie Murphy and how he would warn Balaam of the danger, right? I mean, come on. Let's keep it fun, man. This can be fun, right? Every time you read it now, you're going to be thinking of that. You're going to be like, "Eric, you ruined it for me, man. Come on." Then we've got the donkey that carried Mary and the unborn Christ to Bethlehem. And of course, we have the donkey that the family rode and used to escape Herod into Egypt. So there are donkeys that God uses. The one we're going to talk about this morning is that donkey, that colt that Jesus used and that carried him into Jerusalem. Something had to happen, though, before Jesus was able to ride that donkey into Jerusalem. Something very important had to happen. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't get very far on that donkey. The donkey had to be untied for Jesus. That's the title of today's Palm Sunday message. Untied for Jesus. Tell the person next to you, "I'm ready to be untied." Just speak it in faith right now to the person next to you. "I'm ready to be untied. I'm ready to be untied." Luke and the Gospel of Mark, they deliberately emphasize this untying several times in their gospel, in their writing of this amazing historic event. And again, here's what Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 30. He said, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden." And then Jesus says, "Untie it." Why? Isn't that obvious? If a colt is there and they're supposed to go get this donkey and bring it to him and it's tied up, wouldn't you think it's just obvious? Why would Jesus tell them to untie it? I believe it's because there's a bigger message here for us even today. He says, "Go find that colt and untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him that the Lord needs it." So Jesus is saying it needs to be untied, and it needs to be untied because I need it. I have use for it. Like that colt, the Lord has some special assignments for us. Come on, if he uses donkeys, How much more does he desire, want to, and has created things to use us, actually? Those created in his image, his children, his ambassadors here on this earth. He has some amazing assignments for us. Jesus, check this out. Jesus made history with a donkey. Jesus wants to make history with us. Jesus wants to make history with you, with me, with us. He wants to make history with us. He wants to include us in his epic, historic kingdom of God, miraculous life and coming. He wants to involve us. We're his people. We're his church. He's designed us to carry his very presence into our neighborhoods, into our city, and all around the world. This is what we're designed for. This is what we're called to. But in order to be involved in all that he has for us, we have to be untied. I just love how the Lord orchestrated this. We did not have any kind of plan for what happened at the end of worship today with just responding to this word about being free, about breaking chains, about becoming untied. We already started before the word even came forth this morning. We began to step out into what Christ is calling us to, and that's being untied from things. We're already walking in that direction. So keep going with him right now as we hear what he has to say here. Keep going, man. Don't pull back. Keep going. See, just as a donkey had to be untied to be used by Jesus, we too have to be untied from some stuff. And I saw everybody up front here earlier, so you're in agreement with me. You got stuff that, well, now you're untied from, right? Because you stepped into freedom, correct? Right? Come on. So what stuff? What kind of stuff? If we really get serious, if we step back and we get honest and real with ourselves, we can start to see some stuff that has us tied up, that has us held back from moving forward in all that God has for us. What are some of those things? How about fear? Tied with anxiety, concern, and worry. What if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't happen that way? What if I run out? What if there's not enough? What if I'm not enough? And so we operate in this place of fear, and fear always has us pulling back. When you're allowing fear to have any control of your life, believe me, you're pulling back. You're being held back. You're being tied and kept from the places and the things that God wants to take you to. How about unforgiveness? Does that keep some of us tied up? Tied back? Held back? Unforgiveness? Whether you think it does or not, I'm here to tell you that unforgiveness, if there's any offense that you're still holding against somebody else, you are being held back. There are places that you will never go with Jesus. There are things that you'll never be involved with Jesus, if you're holding on to offense and unforgiveness. That's the reality. That's God's economy. It doesn't change. But we can all walk into forgiveness, not because we have the strength to forgive somebody or even the desire maybe to forgive, but if we go to the cross and if we ask the Lord to pour out his grace through us, we can do the impossible, and we can forgive people that, yes, they don't deserve forgiveness, but we didn't deserve forgiveness from Christ either. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. Unforgiveness, man, it keeps us tied back, keeps us from moving forward with Jesus. Guilt does the same thing, where we're stuck in the past, feeling condemnation, feeling unworthy from the past. And Jesus wants you to know this morning that you've been untied from the past. If you have your life now in Christ Jesus, if you've been born again anew in Christ Jesus, you have a new identity, you have a new present, you have a new future, your past is as far as the east is from the west. You are untied from your past. You're untied. That's how God sees it. That's his perspective, and he wants you to have that perspective right here, right now, that you are untied from the past, that you are untied from guilt, you're untied from condemnation, You're untied. Selfishness can really tie us up. Materialism, comfort, our plans, our dreams, that's all part of selfishness. You know, we have a dream, we have a plan, we have a desire, we have something that we want to go after. And so that's what we put our efforts into. That's what we put our time into, our resources into, our thoughts, our dreams, or that dream that we have. Meanwhile, we're tied to that dream, and God's saying, but I've got this for you. And whatever God has for you, I can confidently say, it's bigger and better than whatever you have planned for yourself. It might look a whole lot different, and you might not see the bigger, the better when you first walk into it. In fact, it might even hurt when you first walk into it. But His promises are true. He never disappoints. There's life in Him. So we always want to be tied to His dreams for our lives, not our own. Distractions are another thing that ties us up and keeps us from moving forward, from bringing God's presence everywhere God wants us to bring His presence. Distractions, I think it's one of the strongest, the most stealthiest forms of holding the people of God back. It's distractions, especially in America. Distractions. We get immersed in the busyness of life. I've said this so many times in so many messages because it keeps coming up, because it's the reality of what we're living in right here and right now. We are living in a reality of distractions. Everything is trying to pull us away, to hold us back, to keep us, to own us. That's really what it is. So many things that want to own you, that want to hold you, that want a piece of you. Those are distractions. The good stuff. It's good. Most distractions, the way the enemy puts them in our lives, they're good. They're not evil, they're not wrong, but they're not the God stuff. And so we find ourselves immersed and running after the good stuff instead of the God stuff, because they're ultimately distractions, and they're part of our own dream and our own perspective on what life should look like and what success looks like. Good stuff, but it's not what God is leading us into. It's temporal. It's not eternal stuff. It's not eternal. We get bogged down, tied down with appointments, activities, pastimes. If you're a parent, you get tied down running your kids around to everything there is in the world because you want to be a good parent and you want to make sure they're exposed to all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, you know, you're tied down. How about smartphones and social media? Are those distractions? Golly, man, sometimes I really just hate Facebook. I'm just telling you right now. Have you ever done that where you get some little message, so you go out to Facebook to check something because somebody wants to say something to you, and you think, yeah, this might be encouraging, right? So you go check it out, and the next thing you know, you're 20 minutes later, and you're still on Facebook, and you're thinking, what have I just done? What could have I have done with that 20 minutes? Oh, my goodness. Whoo! Distracted. Tied down. You know, as I was thinking about this as a parent, you know, we keep processing this with our kids. We keep looking at things with our kids because life can get so busy and so hard at times. The busyness of life can make things so hard. And we have to constantly look at, is this a distraction from the bigger and the better thing? Because here, in the end, I want my kids distracted by one thing, and that's the Lord. I want them distracted, I want them daydreaming about Jesus. You know what I mean? I want that to consume their mind. If they get in trouble from the teacher because they're not paying attention, I want it to be because they're thinking about Jesus, because they're thinking about what just happened on Sunday morning with those people and how God was moving in their lives and how man, it just seemed electric, like God was in the room. I want them thinking about that and dreaming about that. I want them remembering what happened in their youth gathering on Wednesday night when that person just shared what they were going through and everybody came around them and encouraged that friend of theirs and they prayed over them. And they're like, I want them thinking about that. I want them daydreaming about the things of God and what God is doing and what He's saying in and through their lives. Not distracted with all the other stuff. because good isn't enough. I want God. I want God. I want to look at a few examples in Scripture of what it looks like to be tied down and held back. The first example is this guy who's rich, he's young, and he's apparently a ruler. He's the rich, young ruler. It's in the Gospel of Luke, also chapter 18, beginning in verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. He wanted to see if he really knew who he was. Does this guy really know who I am? He's calling me good. And Jesus says, "Because no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments." Now this is Jesus talking to this man, this rich young ruler. Check this out. It blows my mind every time I read this. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony." That's lie, white lie, or whatever kind of lie, right? "Honor your father and your mother." And the guy responds and he says, "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. You think, you liar. You liar. You see, you already failed the lie test right there. But Jesus says, he heard it and he said to him, he said, listen to this. He said, he didn't challenge him. He didn't say, no, and point out, you know, his failings. He just said this, "But you still lack one thing." You're still tied down to one thing. One thing is still holding you back from walking into the glory that I have for you to engage in, for the big heaven kind of stuff. Not the stuff of the earth, but the thing that lasts forever. There's one thing that's still tying you down, that's holding you back, rich young ruler dude, who's been an awesome guy, who's done so many good things, but you still got that one thing. So he says to him, "Sell everything." Now we get to know what that one thing is, right? This tying him down. "Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Then, after you've untied from all of this stuff that has you like that, that's so important to you, once you've untied yourself from that, then come follow me. So when this guy heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. The chains that were tying him, the rope that was tying him, was pretty thick and heavy and like double knotted. He had a lot of wealth. So Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." I'm here to say that we have things that are tying us down. You know, it says that the rich young ruler, he actually walked away from Jesus sad, because he understood that that thing that was tying him down, that he was unwilling to let go, was going to keep him from going where Jesus wanted to take him. He understood, but he didn't let go. We don't have to be like that rich young ruler. We can be untied for Jesus. We can be untied from the good stuff. Wealth is not bad. Money is not bad. The love of money, that's evil. But wealth is not bad. The Lord uses wealth, and he uses the wealthy to do so many amazing kingdom things. But it can tie us down. And you know the other things that can tie us down. There's so many. This guy was unwilling to be untied from his lifestyle, from his safety net. Come on, I just hit somebody right between the eyes with that one. He was unwilling to be untied from his safety net. So he missed it. He missed the big Jesus moment. He missed living the big kingdom of God adventure. He missed it. He didn't miss Jesus entirely. He had an encounter with him. Knew who he was. But he missed moving forward into the bigger. How many big Jesus moments do we miss because we are distracted? How many big Jesus moments do we miss because we weren't there when the moment happened? Because we were distracted. We were off somewhere else. We were doing something that wasn't going to last, that was just kind of running through the motions of life. How many of those moments have we missed? We weren't at the prayer meeting. We got to be willing to be untied for Jesus. There were these religious leaders that were there the same Palm Sunday that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. There were all kinds of religious leaders. Now, these were dudes that were students of the Word of God. I mean, these were guys that knew Scripture inside and out. These were guys that spent their life that focused on knowing all about the Messiah, when he was going to come, what it was going to look like. They were teachers of this truth. But they were tied up and they needed to be untied. Because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they totally missed him. Why? Because they were tied down to religion. They were tied down to their perspective on what the Messiah was going to look like, how he was going to arrive. They were tied down to practices. They were tied down to doctrines and rules and really a religious superiority complex. They were tied down and they wouldn't allow themselves to be untied because Jesus just wasn't packaged the way that they wanted him to be packaged. Sometimes God doesn't show up the way that we expect him to or the way we want him to. Have you ever been in a meeting where the Holy Spirit has shown up and you found yourself fighting a fence in your own mind, thinking, wait a minute, that's not right, I don't like that, I'm not comfortable with that, and you know, I don't know about that, and I, you know what I mean? Doesn't make sense to me. And that's how God has always done it. That's how he's always going to do it. He's going to push us out of comfort zones. He's going to show up in unexpected ways and unexpected times. And we just have to be those who are willing to allow God to be God. Come on. Is that it? That's it. That's it, church. Got to be willing to be uncomfortable. And you don't always have to approve. Did you know that God doesn't need your approval? He really doesn't. He doesn't need your approval. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to do it. You know, have you ever considered that religious pride and superiority kind of complex is really just another form of religious consumerism? You know, we get this whole thinking that we got it all together. We know who God is. We know doctrine. We know what's right. We know truth. We know how God should show up and not show up. We know what it should look like, you know, in a church meeting or not look like. We got it all figured out. And you know what we're really doing? That's that form of religion and religious superiority, and it's a form of Christian consumerism. You think you're, you know, well, no, I'm being all, you know, I'm protecting the holiness and the reverence of God, you know, and this is how it should look and feel. And it's consumerism. You just want it your way. Come on, be real. You want God your way. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys aren't that way. You're having a life church and you're awesome brothers and sisters in the Lord who go after Jesus and let God be God and just get excited when he shows up, however he wants to show up, whenever he wants to show up. So, you know, I'm preaching to everybody who's watching it on the internet. It's actually who I'm preaching to. So, really, to you all. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Here's my story. I was a businessman. I was chasing after money. Some of you have heard some of this part of the story. So, I was going after money. I wanted to be a millionaire by the age of 35. That was my passion. That was my dream. That was what I was going after. And I missed a whole lot of God. I missed until I was like, 37 years old, maybe 36, 37 years. I probably missed thousands of God moments and things he wanted to do in me and through me because I was caught up in my dream. God got a hold of my heart. He changed things in me. I fell on my face. I said, okay, I give up. I'm done with my dream. I want your dream, Lord. And the first thing he said to me was, okay, get your financial house in order. The first thing he said to me is, you got to be untied from some things, Eric. Are you willing to be untied from that cabin that was your dream that you wanted to take your kids to and have your grandkids come to? Are you willing to be untied from that? From your toys, from your motorcycles and all that stuff? Are you willing to be untied from your plans to be financially secure and independent on your own? You got it all. Are you willing to be untied from those things? Praise God. I said yes. It's not easy to be untied. Sometimes you get a rope burn, by the way, when you're being untied. I'm just saying. You can get a rope burn, but they heal up. They heal up. I think Velva got a bigger rope burn on being untied from that cabin than I did. She loved it. It was a sanctuary for her. But she also is like, okay, let's be untied for Jesus. Untied for Jesus. I want to go where God wants to take us. I want us to be involved in the adventure that he's written for us. Because he's written an adventure for us. He has. I want to fulfill our calling. I want to carry Jesus into our world, but we got to be untied for him. Untied, willing. Untied for Jesus. The disciples, Jesus came and he said, hey, you all want to follow me? They're like, well, what's it going to take? Well, you got to be untied. Tied from what? Untied from your business. Untied from your family. Untied from your life. You got to lay it all down and come follow me. And you know what they did? Those were men who were willing to be untied. And what did they get to experience? They got to walk with Jesus. They got to not only watch him do miracles, but then they got to do the miracles that Jesus was doing. Then they got to start the church. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, be the first ones to get that baptism of the Spirit. I mean, come on. Those are people that said, yeah, we'll be untied for you. We'll leave it all else behind. You know what? That other stuff isn't important. I look at it and go, hey, as much as I like basketball, it's not that important. You know, I would love to be coaching basketball right now as I'm still pastoring, but I can't. I had to be untied from that because God has other things for me to do here in the church and in the community. I like coaching basketball. I get really excited. I get crazy. I almost sin every time I coach basketball because I get so intense. You know what I'm saying? Whoa! But I had to be untied. The disciples were untied, and man, they went places that we dream of going, which, by the way, we can go, and I hope you're going to those places, the same places those disciples went. I look at the believers in the upper room, right before Pentecost. They had to be willing to be untied from their lives and every day go to this prayer meeting and seek and wait and be patient for what God was going to do and say, I know I have other appointments. I know I have other people. I know that my text messages are blowing up right now, you know, but I'm going to put it on airplane mode because I'm going to be where Jesus wants me to be. I'm going to be untied for Jesus. And those people that put it in airplane mode and that went into that upper room and stayed there and waited, they got hit with the Holy Spirit in an amazing, powerful way. But they were untied for Jesus. And it cost them something. I bet you some of them lost jobs, lost clients, lost business, maybe even lost friends. But what did they gain? Come on. What did they gain? Billy Graham. There's a man who was untied for Jesus. Just passed away, right? But he was untied for Jesus. He was born and grew up on a dairy farm in North Carolina during the Depression. I mean, it was like, just like a poor country boy kind of story. How can a poor country boy really have much effect in this world today? Well, a poor country boy, farmer that's untied for Jesus, can be somebody who speaks the gospel to 215 million people, live audience. 215 million people, to people in 185 countries or provinces or territories around the world. That's what God can do with somebody who is untied for Jesus and willing to go wherever God takes him and do whatever God calls him to do. But he had to be untied. He had to be untied for Jesus, surrendered. Are you ready to be untied? Okay, head's going up and down. That's fine, but I want you to say after me. Say this. I'm ready to be untied for Jesus. All right, one more time because repetition is good. We always don't get it the first time. I'm ready to be untied for Jesus. I want to warn you, you might get a rope burn and he might take you places that scare the you-know-what out of you. But it's all good because you're going with Jesus. You're making history. You know what? You might think you're too ordinary, too insignificant to do anything big for Jesus. That's a lie. Those disciples, they were ordinary, insignificant in the eyes of the world. But they did big things for Jesus. Billy Graham, back in the day, looked ordinary and insignificant. But he was untied for Jesus and he did big things, big things. Like that donkey, we just need to be untied and willing. Untied and willing. I want you to spend some time today. I know Final Four is happening and all that, but I want you to spend some time today and really let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe even convict you of things that you need to be untied from. Might hurt. But remember what I've said before. If you're on the field with and for Jesus, you're going to get hit and you're going to get hurt. But you're going to also be moving the ball down that field and scoring some amazing touchdowns for the glory of Christ Jesus. You just will. So I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to get real with you and to push you, to move you, and to use you in historic ways.